Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
Today's program has been brought to you by 360 Cookware. Their stainless steel cookware uses vapor technology to cook better tasting, more nutritional food. To learn more and receive 20% off, click their logo on our website, heritageradionetwork.org.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
All right, you're listening to Let's Eat In. It's Heritage Radio Network, and I'm your host, Kathy Irway. It's winter, and it's not so exciting when it comes to seasonal produce, so it might be a great time to get reacquainted with a bottle of booze. Today's show is about winter cocktails, and also it's the start of a new series I'd like to call Ask the Bartender. They listen to your sob stories at the bar. They watch you on first dates. They help you have a great date, often, and they know a great deal about drinks. So today we have a bartender, an actual living Brooklyn bartender, on the show. And what is your name, sir?
My name is Matthew Bagdanoff.
And where do you do stuff?
Well, I'm everywhere. But right now I'm the beverage director at a little restaurant in Cobble Hill called Van Horn. And
what is your beverage specialties?
I like to do classic cocktails with sort of a modern twist, utilizing herbs, but adhering to the principles laid forth by the geniuses of the pre-prohibition era.
So in your role, you invent the cocktails basically using these classic techniques and kind of like nodding to other classic cocktail recipes.
Exactly, and I'm not ashamed to say it because I know a lot of other bartenders do the same thing. They'll take a classic as a template, mm-hmm. for example, a perfect Manhattan or an aviation or even something as, more
complex,
more contemporary as, say, a
Moscow
mule. Oh, yeah, okay. I don't do that kind of stuff. Part of my principle is using fresh ingredients, so I don't have pineapple juice just because we don't have a wearing juicer yet.
Mm-hmm.
Coconut
milk,
it's coconut syrup, it's just flavored Coco Lopez. That stuff is toxic. It's mostly high fructose corn syrup, and
no, so that wouldn't fly.
I wouldn't do that, and plus it's winter, it's not really pina colada time.
Yeah, so what is good right now? What's your winter cocktail of the moment, if any?
Oh, so I am in love with a drink called a flip.
What is that?
A flip, it's an egg white cocktail, and it's really simple. It's pretty much like an old fashioned
with a frothy head?
Yeah, with a frothy head, or, a flip can be anything. It can be a bourbon flip, it can have a gin flip, that kind of stuff.
So what unites it is the egg white.
Yeah, egg white, sugar, and citrus, and
sometimes
citrus. So I did a really great cocktail that's kind of a variation. I actually might be wrong about the flip, but
that's all right.
it's more of a playoff of a sour, and some people like their sours with egg white.
Yeah,
it makes it real frothy. But my version was a gin based cocktail that used Averna, which is an amaro.
Amaro, yeah, I've heard of Averna before. So that's a liqueur.
It's an herbed liqueur. It is definitely. But it's a class of liqueurs called Amari, which are an Italian specialty, and they're really great because each region in Italy produces their own amaro, and it's based on the local herbs.
Herbs, yeah, that's what
so
I thought.
So each one is unique to that region. For example,
it's the blend.
Fernet is an amaro, and that is from Milan, I believe, which is interesting. And Averna is
somewhere else in Italy.
Somewhere else in Italy.
Yeah, but it's Italian.
Yeah, and it's cool. It's enjoying a bit of popularity right now.
Yeah.
It's moderately priced. It's really delicious. It's sort of sweet. It's bitter.
Yeah.
So my cocktail includes that as well, with a little lemon and orange blossom water, which is absolutely delicious. You throw in the egg white. You give it a dry shake, meaning you close the Boston shaker. You don't put any ice in it. You shake it to emulsify the egg whites with everything else. Then you add ice and you shake it real long.
Mm-hmm.
And as hard as you can. And you strain it out with a tea strainer to get all the ice chips out. And then what makes it really great and seasonal is grated nutmeg on the top.
Mm-hmm.
And then I drop a little star anise. And there's a photo somewhere on the internet.
That sounds beautiful.
Yeah. And I called it the King's Cross for...
And that's at Van Horn.
Yeah.
Check it out. So what is a good cocktail? Because I really do think that it has like these therapeutic purposes too. Like a lot of people have the cold right now. What's a cocktail that could help soothe something like that?
Well, there's two. And the obvious is the hot toddy,
which
historically was just sugar and bourbon, hot water, a lemon slice, and some cloves, cinnamon sticks.
Sounds you know. Good.
I like to put a bit of citrus in there, some lemon juice.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to use honey instead of sugar. Brown sugar a lot of people use just to give it, or demerara sugar, which is an unwashed brown sugar. It's really delicious. But it leaves the drink kind of one-dimensional. And
right.
If you have a cold...
Well, honey is good for the throat.
Honey, lemon, and whiskey.
Yeah, to warm up your belly.
Yeah, it's good.
And what about apple cider? I see that a lot in hot toddies. Is that like a sort of seasonal twist with fruit?
Yes, and in fact, we have one on our menu too. We take a cider and we infuse it.
Right.
Or we mull it with fresh thyme.
Yum.
So I don't know if you've ever had a dessert with apple and thyme, but it's delicious. So, you know, and it's as simple as it gets, too. So you just have this thyme-herbed apple cider, and we throw in Laird's apple brandy, delicious brandy made out in Jersey, actually.
Mm-hmm.
That is, yeah, it's fresh, and it's...
Sounds like you could use one, Matthew.
Yeah, I'm a bit under the weather, as we all are.
And what is the other type of drink you were going to say is also good for colds?
Oh, the penicillin. And
what?
It's aptly named because it is very medicinal, but also just super delicious. Now, this is a scotch cocktail.
Okay.
So you start with blended scotch, and you can take fresh ginger slices. It's real important to use fresh ginger because a ginger syrup or anything won't be as bitey, won't be
and
as
strong.
And that's
good for your circulation.
Uh-huh. So you muddle the ginger, just pulverize it with a toothed muddler in the scotch. And then you add a little bit of honey.
Mm-hmm.
And then make sure you dilute the honey with a little water so that it blends better. And then lemon juice, and you shake it all together. You pour it over a nice big ice cube.
That's penicillin?
And then you take a little bit of Laphroaig scotch. That's an Islay scotch that's really peaty, and you just drip a few drops on the top of it.
Oh, with a dropper?
Mm-hmm.
It's fancy.
Yeah, you can use a dropper, or you can do the back of the spoon float method, which is...
pour it in a spoon.
Yeah, you pour it on the back of a spoon down the side of the glass. It's I wish you could see... the demonstration.
Well, actually, you're doing a cocktail class, the second one ever that you've had. Matthew likes to share the wealth of knowledge when it comes to mixing drinks, and you're going to teach a class at Van Horn.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a small seating of like 12 people, and they get to drink, and they get to learn and ask when?
This will be February 11th at 7:30 p.m. Van Horn. It's 231 Court Street. It's a good time, perfect timing, actually, because it's right before Valentine's Day, and, you know, it would be
perfect
really...
Perfect drinks. Learn, yeah, how to make something for at home.
Yeah, and, you know, say you have a date, and you guys are out having a good time, had a good dinner, and you don't want the night to end, and but you're at a place that has really great cocktails, well, there's nothing sexier than saying, why don't you come back to my place? I'll make you a perfect penicillin, or I'll make you a perfect old-fashioned, and you can drop some knowledge.
I've actually been quite seduced in this fashion. And you know, it's something really attractive about someone who really knows what they're doing when it comes to mixing a drink, because I don't. And it only takes like a couple of like tools. You don't need to have a whole set of bar equipment.
Exactly. It's really easy to do something, say like an old fashioned, because you can do it in the glass that you're going to serve it in. It takes a little bit of know-how, and especially tempering the amount of bitters and sugar you use versus the how strong the liquor is. No, there shouldn't be any sour in an old fashioned. I know a lot of people like to muddle an orange and a cherry. That's called a muddle fashioned, and while kind of delicious, ruins the spirit of the old fashioned.
Okay,
and spirit meaning
it muddles the old fashioned.
Yeah, it muddles and befuddles. It definitely doesn't do it any justice, because the whole beauty of an old fashioned is that it's just taking a good spirit and accentuating it a little bit without destroying the integrity of the spirit.
Oh, I see. What's a good spirit?
Oh, man. So I'm in love with this bourbon that's actually produced up in the Finger Lakes, and it's called Mackenzie.
Okay.
Mackenzie bourbon. It is absolutely wonderful to put in to an old-fashioned, and also a Manhattan, another easy cocktail to make at home. And there's another one, too, that's actually produced out here in Brooklyn. It's called Widow Jane. It's a Kentucky bourbon, so it's a Kentucky mash. And it's made with limestone-filtered water from upstate New York. And then they age it and bottle it out in Brooklyn, in Red Hook, in fact. And
Is it at the, what's it called? That distillery in Red Hook.
I have no idea, but maybe.
Oh, it's killing me. I was there recently. Okay.
Google it, listeners.
Okay.
Widow Jane.
Just make sure your date isn't named Jane. Sorry.
Well, if she is, then too bad for her husband. Or wife. It's 2013.
All right. So how many types of liquor should we have at home if we're going to stock for an impromptu date? After meal cocktail,
you should definitely have whiskey.
Okay.
Gin.
What kind?
Oh man, yeah, it depends on what you're gonna make. Right now, I'm in love with St. George's American Dry Gin. They're based out of California, and they produce a lot of different things. They produce cordials. They produce absinthe. This is all stuff that we have at Van Horn too. I like that. It's a good, spicy American dry. It has depth. It's a little earthy. So if I were to make a martini, I would definitely go for that. It plays well with sweet vermouth.
I like that.
Yeah.
Dry, spicy.
Dry and spicy.
That sounds good. Up my alley. I just remembered it's called Van Brunt Stillhouse.
Van Brunt. Yeah. Okay.
I don't know if they make the Widow Jane, but I know that they are a distillery that makes stuff in Red Hook.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I think the Widow Jane is basically bottled there. It's not actually...
Okay.
Yeah, it's not actually distilled there.
Yeah, because I thought they only had one type. Yeah. Well, okay. So we got whiskey and gin. Anything else? Vodka? No?
Yeah. Well, okay. So there's Industry City is
Sunset
also,
Park.
Yeah. Yep. They have a really good vodka. I'm not such a big fan of vodka, and I'll tell you why. Because the idea of spirits is to have an essence, a flavor. It has a spirit. It has, you know, it's indicative of the grain used, the water used, the technique. Vodka is solely made to eliminate all of those flavors. Now, there are a few that I enjoy that retain its maltiness. Ransom out of Oregon produces the vodka, it's called. Pretty pretentious name for a... super pretentious vodka, but it comes across really well.
Where are they made?
It's in Oregon.
That's a pretty pretentious state.
Yeah. we can say this. I'm from Oregon. So, and if you live there, you know. And I live in Brooklyn now. So, And the other good vodka that I will use, and in fact, it's the only one we carry now because no one orders vodka at my bar.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like I said, it's just it's flavorless.
It's not that exciting. Yeah,
exactly. And if you want, oh, what's a good vodka cocktail? Well, vodka and then whatever juice you like. All you're going to taste is the juice and get drunk off it. Good. It doesn't do any other
service.
It doesn't do service to any other spirit and doesn't create something bigger than a whole, than the whole of the cocktail. But I will say Tito's vodka made in Austin, Texas is real good. It's spicy. It's not overly round. And
it does have flavor.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, it's distinct and it's, you know, voted one of the best vodkas in the world consistently by all nationalities. So it's, go
You're
USA.
You're doing something right.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. So sounds like some good starting points. We're going to cut to a quick little musical interlude and we'll be back asking more from the bartender.
You're listening to Jeff Bridges by Space Disease space on the HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Space Disease. Space disease.
Click. Hung up.
Okay.
You know. Click. Hung up.
Okay.
You know. Click. Hung up.
Okay.
You know. Found some condom.
Oh.
Hung up.
Okay.
You know. Found some condoms.
Oh. Where you find the condom?
When I asked him what he said.
What'd he say?
I said, Brunel, how did condoms get here?
Okay.
You know. Click. Hung up.
Okay.
You know.
So I found these two condoms laying on the...
Today's program has been brought to you by AmeriCraft. AmeriCraft and 360 Cookware are proud sponsors of HeritageRadioNetwork.org. AmeriCraft is an American company, and like Heritage Radio Network, they provide the best. Their 360 cookware is made of the highest quality ingredients, like United States steel. It is made in the greenest cookware manufacturing plant in the world. AmeriCraft makes great cookware and is focused on improvement. 360 Cookware is their exclusive line. It's a contemporary line of cookware and bakeware intended to let you, the Heritage Radio Network listeners, have a unique cooking experience. Its vapor seal allows food to be cooked in its natural juices, preserving all of the vitamins, minerals, and other nutrients without added water, oils, or fats. 360 Cookware invites you to learn more about how this process works on their website, www.360cookware.com.
We all know what a foodie is, but what's foodiness?
Foodiness is turning us into those chubby, slushy, slurping, lounge chair-bound morons in WALL-E, plugged in, pumped full of sugar, and brain dead.
Chef Erica Wides is here to fight against foodiness.
You have to keep drinking the Let's Get Real Kool-Aid for it to start to work.
Let's Get Real. Rediscover real food every Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
All right, we're back on Let's Eat In, and today we're chatting with a bartender. We've got Matthew Bagdanoff. He's the drink master, beverage director, that is, at Van Horn in Cobble Hill. So speaking of, you know, the topic of this show is kind of like about date meals and home-cooked, or in this case, home-shaken imbibulations. You must observe a lot of dates while you're working. Was there ever an instance that just kind of struck you as a little wacky? Did you ever set up a date? Or did somebody at the end of the bar wanted to buy a drink for somebody, something like that, and you helped play matchmaker?
I tend to stay away from situations like that. I like to be professional. I don't like to make people feel uncomfortable. And a good example of that is one evening at my bar, a very drunk gentleman and his friend were sitting next to two very attractive young ladies who were engrossed in their own conversation. And the drunk guy sitting immediately to their left was, staring over and just generally being creepy. And he spills a glass of his wine, and that's the moment I should have kicked him out. But I didn't, and a little wine went their way, and he apologized. And then I took that as an opportunity to interject himself into the conversation. And he said, "Bartender, make them two drinks, whatever they want, whatever you want." And the ladies were obviously freaked out a bit and said, "No, it's fine, we don't want it." And so I just walked away, and the guy started, raising his voice, like, "Hey, I told you to make him some drinks, just do it. I don't care if they say no." And I walked up and I was like, "Well, I do care if they say no. I'm not going to make them something that they don't want. And you're kind of pushing a boundary here." And long story short, we had to kick him out.
Oh, man.
So, it's just like, yeah, I think the practice is a little tacky and outdated.
Right.
By that lady, a glass of champagne.
Meanwhile, they're your customers too. And, I think you made the right decision there.
Yeah, you have to... you have to respect people, and
right.
It's it is really tacky to send a drink to somebody.
it is? Okay.
It's tacky. It's classless. It's kind of a douche move. I mean, I'm sure that happened back in the day when, sexism was more of a standard than it is today.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, let the lady decide what she wants.
Mm-hmm. So what is another, where does the boundary come? If somebody comes to you and maybe they're alone and they're drinking their head off and maybe they're telling you a breakup story or something like that, and you have time to talk and be like kind of their listener, does that happen?
It happens every day.
Every day. Wow. Okay.
It also depends on the establishment. Working at a restaurant is great because a lot of people are generally happy and, trying to get involved with food. if you're at the shot and beer place, that's where people go to drown their sorrows.
I see.
It happens to me quite frequently, and I always tell people, don't ask me about relationship advice because I am such a defeatist when it comes to that kind of thing. If anything is hard, if anything drives you to drink, just don't do it. So,
right.
What should I do about this guy? I like him. He's a jerk. Well, then don't see him.
Right.
It's as simple as that. To me, anyways, it's not simple to them. I have witnessed an actual breakup at the bar.
Ooh.
Which was the most...
That's rough.
It was the most uncomfortable thing. I felt bad for the poor woman. She was bawling her eyes out loudly. Everyone in the restaurant could hear it, and people at the bar sitting next to them moved away because it was so awkward. And I think, why have a breakup conversation at a restaurant? It happens all the time. And if she starts crying, why do you sit there? And this guy was getting intense and was being accusing her of something. And I wasn't not really eager to get involved in the situation.
No,
so I stayed as far away. But at the same time, they did order food for me, so I had to serve them food. And
how is everything here?
How are you doing?
All right.
I'm doing fine. Do you guys need another drink? I'll take another glass of wine, please.
Oh dear.
It was really sad, and it was the most uncomfortable thing I've ever seen in my life.
Guys, don't do this to bartenders. Take it indoors at home. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's rough.
Yeah.
All right. So more happy topics. What do you think, in your opinion, is the ultimate awesome romantic date meal?
Wow.
Didn't you?
Full disclosure. Okay. Kathy and I have known each other for a long time. I did ask you advice about aphrodisiac foods, and you had a little dinner.
Oh my gosh, that's right. We did this five-course aphrodisiac dinner with friends. It was awesome.
Which you cooked primarily. So let me ask you a question. What do you think is the most romantic date meal?
I don't know. I really don't know.
We figured it out. Asparagus?
Yeah, that's supposedly an aphrodisiac.
I can't answer this question. My girlfriend and I had a meal, and it was for Valentine's Day about 2 years ago. I researched what the most aphrodisiac foods were, and so I made a four-course meal. First course was asparagus and avocado salad.
Yum.
Second course was something that I completely forget. Third course was veal steaks. Ooh. Veal is apparently a really great aphrodisiac.
And they're very luxurious.
Uh-huh, yeah. No, I'm sorry. Oh, poor baby cows. It was not veal. I don't really like that whole thing, but it was venison.
Venison, yeah, deers. Yeah, yeah.
Another V
Rudolph.
Word.
Rudolph.
Yeah, good old Rudolph is delicious. And apparently it's good for... Bambi. Good for romance.
Okay.
What was the... Oh, yeah. Chocolate ice cream, something nice. With saffron. I don't know. That was the most romantic meal I've ever
that
had.
That sounds really good. I'm digging the asparagus and avocado. That sounds like a great combo right now.
It was really good. And
steaks.
Yeah, I went all out on that one.
And what would you pair with that if you could, you know, recreate it now?
The venison is awesome with a good light red wine. Light to medium with a little bit of like spice and earthiness. I can suggest give a little shout out to my boy at Palmer Vineyards in the North Fork of Long Island. They make a Cab Franc that is one of the greatest things ever.
Cool.
So that we had that with the venison steak, and then we had the cocktail to start off the night was one of my favorites, and arguably the granddaddy of all modern cocktails. It certainly is a precursor to the martini, the Martinez.
Oh,
which is. It includes maraschino, gin, sweet vermouth, and orange bitters.
And that's maraschino liqueur, right? Not just a cherry. And cherry juice stuff. Yeah,
exactly.
Okay, so maraschino.
That's a good little side mark. Maraschino liqueur is an absolute essential for the home bar bartending. It's got a romantic flavor. It's made from marasca cherry, so it's not a sweet cherry mm-hmm. liqueur. It is very dry and almost citrusy,
mm-hmm.
and it will make any cocktail taste good.
Yeah, and it'll make it a beautiful bright shade of red, right?
It's actually clear.
Oh,
it's a clear shit. It's a clear liqueur.
grenadine
will work. The Martinez has sweet vermouth, which is red, so
oh, okay.
it gives it this reddish hue.
Well, that sounds perfect for Valentine's Day, then.
It is. It was good. And
then that's called the Martinez.
Martinez, yeah. It's good. It's
sounds delightful. And what is it with, like, cocktails? Can I not drink a cocktail in the middle of the meal? It has to be before or after? What's your take on that?
Exactly. That's a really good point. The idea of the cocktail is it's supposed to be pre-prandial. Before mm-hmm. you eat, it's supposed to whet your appetite.
Okay.
And it's important not to dull. That's why sweet cocktails, for example, Sex on the Beach, like that kind of like, you know, highball kind of nonsense cocktails where it's mostly just canned juices and syrups.
Screwdriver.
Yeah, like that kind of stuff. Steer clear from that. You want something that's dry, unique, and interesting to sort of whet your appetite.
Your palate. It's just, I see.
It's just to open, like the alcohol helps, with the digestion process. It conditions your stomach to
digest.
Receive the onslaught of food you're about to.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So,
and then after dinner, the digestive mm-hmm, helps that even more.
There's the aperitif and the digestive, and but the problem with having a cocktail mid meal is that it takes away from both the food and the cocktail. That's why. People suggest pairing with wine and at the most beer, but you don't want anything with too much heavy liquor because you're going to start to dull your taste buds. And any really great, magnificent cocktail should stand out on its own.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
That's my philosophy, and I definitely serve people 4 and 5 cocktails throughout the course of their meal, and I'm happy to do it, and they don't seem to mind, but I'm not gonna.
Yeah, they're just stuck on that taste. They just want to continue it.
Exactly. And, that's flattering to me. Someone orders 4 cocktails of the same variety in one night, that means you're doing a good job. So
sweet. Well, thank you so much for sharing some of that wisdom, and I look forward to hearing more about it at your class on February 11th. It should be really, really, it sounds great. It's only $45, and it's cozy. It's good for dates. It's, you know, a small class.
Yeah, check it out on Skillshare. My name is Matthew Bagdanoff. The class is called Craft Cocktail Bartending, Practices and Principles.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, have fun with that. And thanks again. Check out Van Horn in Cobble Hill. And thanks, everyone, at Heritage Radio Network. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.